You know, we read today Psalm 139. In any reading of Psalm 139, you can't but be amazed, be impressed by David's understanding of God. He talks about these great attributes of a great God, like omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence. And yet he talks not as a scholar or as a theologian with dry, dusty language, but he talks in an extremely personal way. So the fact that God is an all-knowing God, an all-present God, an all-powerful God, is extra important to David because of what it means for him in his everyday life. It's something that's real for him, that lives for him, that he depends upon every day. And right from verse 1 of this psalm, we notice that David uses personal pronouns, me and I, when he talks in this psalm. And he mainly uses the relational title, you, when he speaks about and to God. And that is really refreshing for me. If you look at verse 1, the very first verse, and you notice this, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. And I want you to note that their word Lord is in small capitals. They do that in the translations when they're letting us know that it's the word Yahweh in the Hebrew. And Yahweh, of course, was this unique name for the unique God of Israel, this powerful God. So when David is talking about God, he knows how great and powerful God is, this God he's speaking to and about. But then he immediately moves into this conversational mode, doesn't he? Where he uses you and me in the most natural way. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Isn't that amazing? And I find it so encouraging. As I said, I find it refreshing, particularly in light of the way that others in David's time would have addressed their idols and their gods. You can't imagine, can you, the king of the Philistines going into his temple to his dog Dagon that was made out of stone or bronze and talking to Dagon like this. It just wouldn't have happened. But then David had this most beautiful relationship with God. He really did. That in so many ways is like the relationship that we have with our God, our Father in heaven, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the connection that we have with God that is not one of unholy fear. If it is, then come and talk to me. The connection we have with God is not one of unholy fear, but of awesome delight in the presence of an all-knowing, all-present, and an all-powerful God who loves and cares for each one of us as individuals. Now, this is specifically the meaning behind verses 13 to 18 of Psalm 139 that I want us to look at this morning. And they're verses that actually speak of God's omniscience. That's another omni word for you. Omniscience means one who is unlimited in creative power. There is nothing he can create. There is nothing that is beyond him. So naturally, it's also God's omnipotence, which means God is all powerful. The two go very much together. Now, from what David says in these verses, it's obvious that he did not simply believe in God as creator, but as his creator. And there's a vast difference between that. As a God who had personal knowledge of him. Look at verses 13 and 18. I'm going to put them up for you from the contemporary English version. Makes it just a little bit clearer. You are the one, who put me together inside my mother's body. And I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. Everything you do is marvellous. Of this I have no doubt. Nothing about me is hidden from you. I was secretly woven together deep in the earth below. And with your own eyes, you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything I would do. Your thoughts are far beyond my understanding, much more than I could ever imagine. I try to count your thoughts, but they outnumber the grains of sand on the beach. And when I awake, I will find you nearby. Isn't that amazing? Now, to simply believe that God created the universe is amazing. That's a wonderful thing. But, you know, to simply believe that God created the universe is an act of faith on your part. Well, that's what Hebrews says, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what were visible. That's an act of faith. But behind such an act of faith, there's plenty of really solid evidence. You know, some people think faith is just based on nothing. No, it's not. Based on a tremendous amount of evidence. It's wonderful to see what the scientists are discovering about the earth today. And one of the things they're discovering is this whole fact of it had a beginning. We knew that. What Genesis said. And we knew who was behind the beginning. And the whole sense of there's intelligence there. We knew that. And we knew who was the intelligent one too. You know, it's interesting to not believe in God and to not believe in creation also is an act of faith. But it's based on a lot less evidence. We went into town yesterday with the grandkids. Went into the forest place. We were looking for a McDonald's because they're kids, not because they're very nice to look for. And we went into this McDonald's in Perth, and it's gone downhill, I can tell you. But next, a couple of tables away, there were these four young teenage guys. They weren't very old, but they were extremely loud and very opinionated. And I had to listen, not because I wanted to, but because I was in the same building as they were. But as this young fellow was saying, and he had obviously been in touch with some Christians, which was fantastic, but he was really running Christians down. Actually believing in God. And then he went on and quoted a few things, and I was praying for him because I know God's got looking for that guy. And it was as though we're to believe in God is the most stupid thing out. But you know what? It is an act of faith. But not to believe in God is an act of faith too. And I reckon there's a lot more evidence to believe in him and in him as creator than the other way around. I've been reading lately some books by scientists called John Lennox. He's a very great writer and good guy, easy guy to read. But he's a strong Christian. And he's a Christian who believes very, very strongly in the Word of God. And in one of his books, he begins to list all the reasons why he believes in God and believes in God as creator. And at the same time in that book, he quotes another scientist, a fellow by the name of George Klein. And George Klein is opposite. He so strongly believes there's not a God, and that God is not the creator. But John Lennox, which is very interesting, quotes a letter that this fella Klein wrote. And in this letter, Klein kind of confesses that his view as an atheist is also a matter of faith. He's writing in response to someone else said about him, and someone said he was agnostic. So he writes to refute that, and he says this in this letter. I'm not an agnostic. I'm an atheist. My attitude is not based on science, but rather on faith. Interesting. The absence of a creator, the non-existence of God, is my childhood faith, my adult belief, unshakable and holy. I found that very, very honest. So whether a person believes in a creator or not, faith is always needed to do so. But we know as Christians that God the Spirit gives us the faith to believe not just in a creator, that's quite easy, but in a creator that made us and cares about us as individuals. That is a huge step. That's a step of faith. And this is the very information that God gave to David thousands of years ago, who, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, wrote it down in the form of a psalm, the psalm that we read today. And we know this psalm to be God's truth for us today because it's in the Word of God, the Bible, which God has given to us and is inspired by God the Spirit. And what an amazing truth it is that we humans, so small, so insignificant in the whole scheme of things, are known to God, our Creator. And when we connect our lives to God through Jesus Christ, then we connect our lives to His plan for us. And He knows our days before they happen. And He has a purpose for each of our lives that has eternal consequences. Wow. You know, the totality of Psalm 139, you read from beginning to end, is about a God who is so big that He would seem that He must be beyond our reach. That's the way it reads. His magnitude highlights my unimportance. His uniqueness emphasizes my commonness. His preeminence magnifies my smallness. You know, in fact, coming to grips with my smallness in relation to God's enormity is destined to be rather depressing if I go no further than such a comparison. But if I do go further, if I do go on to grasp, as David did, that God cares for me as an individual so very much, then I tell you, everything changes. Suddenly, my smallness, is no longer a hindrance that I thought it to be. But it's an opportunity. My smallness is an opportunity for the Almighty to show His power, His planning, and His purposes through me. The smaller I am, the more opportunity He has. You know, I can dream big dreams now. Big dreams of what my prayers, my wisdom, limited though it may be, my emotional depths, my physical strength, my material wealth or lack of it, can do and has done for God. Because He knew all about me when He created me. And He made me for His purposes. How wonderful is that? Let me tell you this, and never forget it. Small things matter tremendously to God. And you've got to read the Bible to discover that. Small things matter tremendously to God, and I'm a small thing, and so are you. As I looked through the psalm and I looked at a few of the verses, I thought, wow, what a wonderful statement verse 13 is. You knit me together in my mother's womb. How much that tells us about the sacredness of a baby from conception. And that's just one of the most wonderful statements in this psalm. and there's many more. And to my mind, such statements reach a crescendo in verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. There is a real sense here that the thoughts of God, or the thoughts God has, are mainly about his people, are about the church here on earth, are about you and me. So God is all powerful, and this is shown in the totality of all that God has created. But you know what? His power is especially shown in his creation of you and me. And the power with which he will use even the smallest and the weakest of his children to achieve that which is great in his sight. This is the joy of having God as Father. The wonder of our connection with him through Jesus. Let this be the thought that fills you today as you leave this place. The joy of who you are before God. And let it send you to your knees in wonder all over again. In total surrender to that one who so cares for you.